This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, part two of my interview with Republican congressional candidate Lauren Boebert. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
On October 14th, the Delta County Planning Commission voted 6-1 to certify the draft land use code. The draft will now be sent to the county commissioners to consider for adoption at a later meeting. The draft contained recommendations from the Planning Commission, reports the Delta County Independent, including removal of the language about expanding right to farm protections. That change was advised by the county attorney after a challenge from the watchdog group Delta County Citizen Report. The 2020 U.S. Census is officially over as of October 15th, 2 weeks earlier than planned. The Supreme Court overrode a lower court order that had extended the deadline to October 31st. As of the 15th, 99.9% of Colorado households had been counted, reports the Colorado Sun. The census determines how federal funds are allocated to dozens of programs, many of which serve low-income communities, older residents, and young children. Nationwide, the people who have not been counted this year, and likely now will remain uncounted, often fall into one or more of those categories, notes the Sun. As of October 16th, Colorado voters had already returned 436,443 ballots for the November elections, reports Secretary of State Jenna Griswold. That's almost 25 times the number of ballots that had been returned by the same time in the 2016 election. Registered Democrats have returned more than twice the number of ballots as registered Republicans, and considerably more than unaffiliated voters. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
Republican Lauren Boebert is running for Congress in the 3rd District. She's a business owner with a GED and no previous government experience who says freedom itself is at stake in this election. Should voters choose a novice with a gun on her hip over a veteran politician known for bipartisan compromise? I spoke to Lauren Boebert by phone on Thursday. Here's part two of that interview. Can you talk about your views on the handling of the coronavirus by President Trump at the national level in contrast with your views on the response by Governor Polis at the state level?
Well, I think originally the advice that we got about washing our hands and avoiding touching our faces was really great advice. Practice good hygiene. I really respect that President Trump acted quickly in closing our borders and restricting some travel so we could kind of keep the virus out. He acted very quickly in that. And I really respect that he was bringing federalism back to the table and allowing the states to decide. I don't agree with all of the states' decisions, but President Trump left that in the governor's hands. And Governor Jared Polis, I think he took it too far, shutting down small businesses and saying who was essential and who was not, while big box stores were able to remain open and the small businesses had to shut down. And businesses need to open in a responsible way. And that's why I stood up to Governor Jared Polis. I reopened my business when I saw him bragging to President Trump that he was reopening Colorado, when I saw neighboring Mesa County opening their county up. I followed CDC guidelines and I responsibly opened my doors. And I wasn't going to wait for bureaucrats to give me an arbitrary opening date. I did lose my license for about a week, but the city of Rifle came in and thanked me for that. And they said, we're grateful that you threaded this needle so our county could actually open up sooner than we would have. And then they came and built patios outside of the restaurant. And this is what government's supposed to look like, working with the people to find sensible solutions. So I don't agree with everything that the Governor Jared Polis has done. I think that people are tired of the criticism towards churches or Republicans, and yet watch Nancy Pelosi, run around with her mask and breaking the rules that she's making everyone else follow.
So speaking of Pelosi, Lauren, if you were in Congress this year, would you have voted for the CARES Act? Why or why not?
I would have stood up to make stronger amendments. I respect Representative Thomas Massey, and he was there kind of sounding the alarm on some key issues. And everyone was telling him just sit back and be quiet. And then soon after that, we all had the same talking points as Representative Massey. And I think the best stimulus package is getting America open for business again.
Give us one example of a policy goal of yours once you get to Washington to help create new jobs on the western slope of Colorado.
I would bring old jobs back. So energy is huge for me and my platform. Republicans really get a bad rap when it comes to the environment, and that's not really fair. I want clean water. I want a clean environment, clean air. If we want these resources extracted responsibly, it needs to be done right here at home. So we could bring these high-paying jobs right back to our district. And, you know, there really is a moral case for fossil fuels. We see these coal-fired energy plants that are shutting down, the coal mines that are shutting down, and people who've worked here for a dozen years or more. And now they're being told that the government will train them to do something else, train them to be a plumber in Craig, Colorado, or in Nukla, Colorado. Well, I think Nukla and Craig kind of have all the plumbers that they need. You know, I am a job creator. I'm a small business owner, and I know that our entire economy needs to be thriving, and our energy industry helps that. I know that things are going really well in my restaurant when there's mud on the floor. When I have to clean mud up on the floor, that means we're doing good because the guys are coming in from the field after a long, hard day's work. They're bringing their families in after they've been working and enjoying a meal in my restaurant and stimulating the economy and creating jobs. My opponent's not a job creator. You know, I have an undergraduate and a master's degree in business, and I've never paid a college tuition. I've never gone to college for it, but I have the experiences of it. And that's how you learn. That's how you learn to create jobs and run a business.
A couple more quick questions on energy. The United States directly subsidizes fossil fuel industries, over $20 billion per year, about 20% allocated to coal and 80% to natural gas and crude oil. Do you support this use of taxpayer money?
No, I do not. And the government subsidizes a lot more for wind and solar. I am not for government choosing winners and losers when it comes to our energy. We need to have the free markets deciding this. And right now, our markets are going towards wind and solar because of the subsidies. I don't see that at all. I think that these industries need to be healthily competing against each other for the most reliable, efficient source of energy and the most cost-effective. No, I'm not for subsidies at all. I think that is a four-letter word.
If elected to Congress, give us an example of something you would do to protect clean air, clean water, the environment.
We need to protect our water. Right now, it's not so much even the clean part aspect of it. We're losing a lot of our water. And we need to protect our water and make sure that Denver and Los Angeles don't steal it from us. And I've done more to protect our water than my opponent ever will.
Congressional candidate Lauren Boebert, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Thank you for joining me.
Great. Thanks so much.
That's part two of my interview with Republican congressional candidate Lauren Boebert. You can hear the entire unedited conversation on our website, kvnf.org. Hear from Democratic congressional candidate Diane Mitchbush on Monday evening at 5:50. That does it for today's KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.